Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Do you consider your home to be a safe place? You know, there really is a big issue facing America's parents, and that is this. How do we protect our children? How do we take responsibility as parents to control the kind of media intake, the kind of entertainment consumption that they will experience? How do we control what's going into their minds, into their eyes, their ears, in terms of music and entertainment and movies and television and print media and all the rest? This is an issue of our responsibility as parents. And from a Christian worldview perspective, one of the most important things we need to recognize is that what goes in those minds is going to have an effect. Now, we're going to be talking about this issue today, and I want to ask right up front, I want to know from you what you are doing as parents to control this kind of access, because we're going to talk in the second segment about the reality of the fact that something like 7 out of 10 teenagers have a television in their room. Many of them have cell phones and access to instant messaging. Others have virtually unrestricted access to the Internet, and in terms of the music they listen to, the books they read, and all the rest, we're in big trouble if we don't take responsibility as parents. And we're going to be talking about that. We have a very special guest also starting in the second segment. First, a review of the news. Yesterday, we mentioned that just as we went on the air, a Nebraska judge, in this case, a U.S. federal court judge, District Judge Joseph Battalion of Omaha, struck down Nebraska's constitutional amendment defining marriage as the union of a man and a woman and thus preventing same-sex marriage. We know a whole lot more about this judge, about this decision, and about what it means. And in particular, what we now know is that this is one of those demonstrations of judicial activism that defies the imagination. I want to tell you how this judge came to this conclusion. Now, the people of Nebraska spoke overwhelmingly in the year 2000 when they adopted an initiative that led to this particular amendment to the Nebraska Constitution. 70% of those who voted affirmed this amendment. It went through all the normal and proper procedures in order to amend the Constitution. It then was the subject of a lawsuit, as you would expect, by homosexual advocates. It reached the U.S. District Court, and this judge in Omaha struck down the law, in this case actually striking down a constitutional amendment. Now, I want you to hear the reasoning behind his decision. And by the way, his decision is available in text form at our website if you want to go. He found, and I put that in quotation marks, that the Nebraska amendment violated the constitutional rights of homosexuals by preventing access to the legislative process in order to push for same-sex marriage. Now, I want you to track with me about this. That was the whole purpose of a constitutional amendment. In other words, if you take this judge's logic seriously, virtually any kind of constitutional amendment that would prevent any kind of law becomes unconstitutional because it means that the people who would want such a law can't go to the legislature and work for such a law because the Constitution has already forbidden such a law. Yeah, you're tracking with me on this. By this logic, the people of Nebraska robbed themselves of the opportunity to have access to their own legislature. This is legal insanity. And it's another reminder right now of why we need a federal marriage amendment, and we need it right now. We need it immediately. We need it urgently, because what we will either tell the judges what marriage is, or they will try to tell us what marriage is. And here you have just one judge who says that it is an imposition, it is a burden, an unconstitutional act for the government, in this case of Nebraska and the people of Nebraska, to prevent homosexuals from lobbying for, and of course that would mean also succeeding in a push for same-sex marriage. In other words, it would be absolutely even more illogical than what he's already said if he says they have a constitutional right to lobby for it, but not a constitutional right to have some potential for success. But then he also says something else in his decision, and you need to hear this with your own ears. He says that preventing same-sex marriage puts other forms of association, constitutionally protected forms of association, in jeopardy. He says here, marriage cannot be identified or defined solely by sexual, procreational, or financial aspects. Many social or associational arrangements run the risk of running afoul of the broad prohibitions of Section 29. That's the same-sex marriage amendment. Among the threatened relationships will be those of roommates, co-tenants, foster parents, and related people who share living arrangements, expenses, custody of children, or ownership of property. Many of these associational relationships are constitutionally protected at some point along the spectrum, from the most hallowed and intimate to the most trivial. Without determining where on this spectrum a potential domestic partnership, civil union, or other same-sex relationship would fall, let it suffice to say that associations or living arrangements affected by Section 29 are closer to the end of the continuum that deserve constitutional protection. End quote. Are we supposed to believe that there are people who are living together as roommates in Nebraska who are having their rights trampled upon by a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage? Are we supposed to believe that elderly brothers and sisters living together on the old family homestead are having their ability to do that somehow violated by an amendment to the Nebraska Constitution banning same-sex marriage? I don't think so. I know you don't think so. I'm not even sure that this judge thinks so. But it became a legal mechanism, an argument that he could put in his text in order to do what I am absolutely certain he was steadfastly determined to do, and that is to overrule the will of the people of Nebraska. And when people ask, why are you conservatives so upset about the judiciary, just remember this judge, just remember this decision. It's just yesterday, folks. We can't ignore what's at stake in this. Well, in Sweden, let's be reminded once again that 8 Green's in trouble. The Pentecostal pastor is now in trouble being tried again on the issue of having preached against homosexuality. He preached a biblical sermon, and now he's being told that his appeal, which led to his acquittal, is going to be reviewed by the Supreme Court of Sweden. And just in recent hours, we are reminded also that this is a live issue in Canada, where hate speech and hate crime legislation has been passed. And even now, there are those pressing for similar legislation here. And even as we pray for 8 Green, we need to be aware that this is trouble that could come far closer to home. We cannot assume that the First Amendment can always mean, will always mean, what the founders meant it to mean. Because if judges can redefine, you know, the issue of same-sex marriage and a marriage amendment in the Nebraska Constitution, as this judge did in Omaha, then anything's possible. It seems like Washington, D.C., the metropolitan area, has become something of a mecca for controversies over sex education. We've been talking about Montgomery County, Maryland, and its radical proposal that has since been put on hold. Now Fairfax County, Virginia, has joined the fray, and the Fairfax County School Board last night approved 2 new pamphlets about sex education for 10th graders, but it made several changes to at least one of the pamphlets. The pamphlets are entitled Birth Control Facts and Abstinence 101. I want to tell you what's important here. At least one of these pamphlets makes clear that abstinence is the right policy, that teenagers should not have sex until they are married. This particular pamphlet, Abstinence 101, is very important as a topic of our consideration today because parents and members of the school board had to fight over what abstinence means. One of the brochures had suggested that abstinence can mean virtually anything except sexual intercourse. And the parents thought that was out of line. And so they rewrote or forced a rewriting of this particular pamphlet, and now abstinence means abstinence again. Joe Bartling quoted in the Washington Post, a technology company official who has 2 children in the Fairfax schools, said that abstinence is downplayed in the message. He said, I think it sends a more casual message about sex and birth control than it should. Well, once again, we are reminded of what can happen when parents get involved. And in this case, Mr. Bartling says this particular change hasn't gone far enough. But if these parents will stay active, they're going to have the attention of this school board. In Washington, D.C., a House subcommittee has approved a measure that would ban women from serving in certain support units in order to keep them out of what the military defines as direct ground combat. Now, what's interesting here is that this is the House Armed Services Committee. And its bill would require the Army to prohibit women from serving in any company-sized unit that provides support to combat battalions and their subordinate companies. Representative Duncan Hunter, a Republican of California, said the American people have never wanted to have women in combat, and this reaffirms that policy. I want to tell you why this is so important. It is because right now there are women in situations that are basically combat. But they have been defined by the Army and by the military as being non-combat support units. But because they are in such close physical proximity to the combat, they might as well be in combat, and women are in danger. And here you have the feminist agenda. Representative Cynthia McKinney of Georgia said that the legislation here amounted to discrimination barring women from serving in the battlefield. But we should all be reminded that current military policy from the Pentagon bans women from combat situations. A society that considers that an intolerable form of discrimination is a society that has so demeaned and lowered the status of women that it considers them proper for combat in war. And you know what won't end there? We're going to be talking about this in days ahead. In fact, we're going to do an entire show on that very shortly. And we'll be tracking this issue with you. But next, we're going to be talking about what happens in your home, what your kids are watching, and why it matters. And you're listening to the Albert Mohler Program. You know, what's coming into your home is your responsibility, and especially when it's coming into the minds of your children, we as parents had better be giving very close attention, because there are those out there who want to control their minds, want to confront them with overly erotic and sexualized material, violence, degrading kinds of images, narratives, and all the rest. And it's going to happen unless we take action as parents. Just consider what's in your home in terms of access to media and the telephone, the television, radio, music, the iPod, the Internet. It's all out there. Our guest today is Rebecca Hagelin, who is vice president of the Heritage Foundation, and that's one of the premier think tanks in the conservative movement. She has written a new book entitled Home Invasion. Rebecca Hagelin's also a mother and a wife. She and her husband have three children, 17, 16, and 13. And something tells me, Rebecca, that you've got more than an academic interest in this issue.
Absolutely. I fight the culture on a daily basis with my children, and it is a wearying battle. It takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of commitment, but there's no greater pleasure than actually being a parent and taking the responsibility and the privilege seriously.
Well, I know you mean that, and that comes through in your new book, Home Invasion. You know, that's a pretty confrontational title there, Rebecca.
Yeah, it is, and it was designed to be that way, because it used to be, Al, that a parent's greatest fear was looking out for the guy in the trench coat lurking on the edge of the playground. Well, that guy has entered our homes. 9 out of 10 children who go online on the Internet will stumble across hardcore pornography. Our children are consuming 6.5 hours of media today, according to the latest research. The number one choice of girls is MTV. 68% of kids have a television in their bedroom. The number one music choice of all teenagers from all socioeconomic statuses, all races right now, is hip-hop and rap. And the average parent has not a clue that their house has been invaded so heavily by forces that really seek to rob our children of their innocence and of their best futures.
Now, Rebecca, you raise an issue there that just really gets my attention, because I am perplexed, just to use a mild word, by so many parents who just allow their kids virtually unrestricted access to media and entertainment, Internet, DVDs, you name it, cable television.
Right.
You've got three teenagers, 17 and 16-year-old boys, a 13-year-old daughter. Mary and I have a 16-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old son. I would not imagine for a moment giving them unrestricted access, because I don't want them even being tempted by that stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, all parents have to do is really pay attention and then stop and think. Think of the type of child that you want your child to be, and think of a vision of what the type of adult is that you want your child to be. What kind of character do you want them to have? And then assess the kind of material and messages that your kids are consuming at the rate of 6.5 hours per day for the average teenager. And if those messages do not support you in your effort to try to develop the type of character you want your children to have, then it's your job as a mom and dad to replace those messages with the right ones. It's a very, very simple concept. But today's parents are either too lazy, too tired, too overwhelmed, too distracted with their own lives to even be paying attention to what's going on in our kids' lives, or we never learn to deal with peer pressure ourselves. So how in the world are we going to teach our children to deal with it?
Now, Rebecca, you and I grew up in the same town in Florida.
Yes.
And amazingly enough, in the small, small world of the United States of America, Rebecca's father was my pediatrician when I was a kid.
It's just so great to find that out when we talked about that recently.
Well, you growing up in a home, headed by a wonderful pediatrician, living in, and what we really experienced in Lakeland, Florida was something like small town America.
Right.
And, you know, my parents didn't have to worry too much about what I was going to see and what I was going to hear. What happened in America, Rebecca, that has changed that so much?
Well, in the late 1950s and early 1960s, there began a systematic removal of God and his moral absolutes from the public square. It started with removing prayer in the public school, Bible in the public schools, and then it went on to prayer, et cetera, et cetera. And what happens is that there's a huge vacuum left. It's that those moral absolutes and God's values were replaced with a different, very, very different worldview. Now, you add that on to the, quote, sexual revolution of the 1960s and the fact that we've really made great technological advances in the country, and you put all that together, and what you have is this perfect storm, so to speak, of all of this technology spewing a worldview very different from what our nation supported as a country in the 1950s and before, up until the 1950s. And that worldview is one that teaches our children that they're just a blob, they're not here for any reason, their sex is something that they should enjoy as long as they're careful, there's no real purpose in their lives, and we're selling our children a bill of goods that's robbing them blind, and it's robbing them of their futures, of their health,
and of their innocence. You know, that's a big part of this. You know, Rebecca, I think something else has happened, and we need, because we've been talking about what's happening in the courts, just consider how the Supreme Court has lowered the bar in terms of pornography. What
right.
would have been clearly illegal, 15 to 20 years ago, is now available openly and to minors. But, even where it's not even legally contestable as legally defined pornography, you've got teenage sons. I've got a teenage son. I don't want him seeing everything that comes with the Sunday newspaper.
That's right. And parents, we need to understand one thing. It's adults that run the newspapers. Adults are creating the porn sites. Adults are the ones that are spamming your child's email inbox with porn and kiddie porn. Adults are designing the thongs for 10-year-olds. Adults own the record companies that's spewing the gangster rap and the hip-hop music. Your battle is not with your child. Your battle is with adults that don't share your worldview.
You're willing, Rebecca, to be the heavy in this. And
sure.
I really, my wife and I are as well. And your book encouraged me because it's good to know some other parents out there who are willing to say no to their kids. And you're exactly right. The kids aren't the enemy. But parents have got to be willing to say no. We can't be our kids' best friend.
That's right. Today's parents are more concerned about being their kids' friends. And I got news for you, Mom and Dad. Your kids don't need another friend that doesn't have their best interest in mind. What your child needs for you is to be mom, is to be dad. That's your role in life. You have a very unique role. Your children will have hundreds of friends throughout their lifetimes, hundreds of teachers that come and go, and lots of adults that interact with them. They will have basically one mom and one dad, and that is a very unique role that was designed by God for us to nurture, protect, to teach our children in the way they should go. And even in so many good Christian homes where parents are working diligently, volunteering at church and trying to do the right thing, technology has increased so fast that mom and dad have been left in the dust and are so busy that they don't even know what their kids are consuming. So home invasion is a wake-up call. Mom and dad, stop. Put yourself in your children's tennis shoes for 1 week. Observe everything they're doing. Find out what kind of music they're listening to, what kind of videos they're running, et cetera, et cetera. And if that doesn't agree with what you want to teach your children, it's time to take control and make your home that nurturing environment it was intended to be.
I think that's an incredibly fine and wonderful summary. I would add only one thing, and that is you better know what their friends are watching and what's going on at their friends' homes when you let them go over there as well.
Find out life's a
battle. Absolutely. It's been wonderful, Rebecca, to have you on the program. We've had as our guest Rebecca Hagelin. She's the author of an important new book you need to go get, read, and share with other parents. It's entitled Home Invasion. She's also the author of the Heartbeat column in WorldNetDaily.com and TownHall.com, and we'll put up some links so that you can find more about what she's up to. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us today. Folks, now I want to hear from you. What are you doing in your home to take responsibility as a mom, a dad, as parents, what are you doing? Because you'll have to encourage other parents, and we just might pool some good wisdom here in how to handle this thing. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
Listening to the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmueller.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mueller.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. You know, there's an old revolutionary slogan, and it goes like this. If you can control what people sing, you can control how people think. That's a reminder to us that oftentimes the most dangerous messages communicated through society come through entertainment and media, come through music and art, film, cinema, and over that which is packaged in a way that is funny, is satirical, is dramatic and entertaining. And that's why what our children are watching at the movies, what they're reading in books, what they're listening to in music, this is all important. Just take music, the hip-hop culture, and all the rest. There's some people who say, you know, well, that's just a form of music. Well, just listen to the words. Just consider if that's what you want going in those two input devices we know as ears and those other input devices through different forms of media with the eyes, because it's going right to the brain, right to the soul of our own children. And if parents aren't the gatekeepers in this, let's face it. We're in big trouble. You're talking about 7 out of 10 teenagers saying they have a TV in the room, and with the TV often goes the VCR and the DVD player. And then, you know, kids are walking around now with iPods and MP3 players and all the rest and CDs. Are parents really paying any attention to what's going in those ears? I want to know what you as parents are doing. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. If we're not the heavies, there's not going to be a heavy. Let's go to Carrie, listening on XM Satellite Radio, calling from Lead Hill, Arkansas. Carrie, welcome to the program.
Hello. I just want to tell you I absolutely love your program, and I look forward to it every single day. I just had a baby. She's only 6 months old, but I'm already starting on the process of how I'm going to raise her, and I'm worried sick about it. And I think that women may hate me for this, but I think the root cause of all of this is the fact that women and men are both at the workplace all day long. Most of them are working overtime, long hours, and no one is there for their kids. And when they get home, it's, you know, the kids are in there watching TV in their rooms, playing with video games. And I think if it was the old-fashioned way of the man going out and earning the living and the woman being at home raising the kids and teaching them about God and how to live, and I don't think anyone teaches their daughters how to become wives and mothers anymore.
Well,
really
not very many, Carrie. And I think, and as tempting as it is, just to go ahead at the argument about the workplace and all the rest, I'm going to have to keep us focused on the media side. But you've really given us a strong message here, and I appreciate your call. And it is our parental responsibility. Carrie, I really appreciate the fact that you're so concerned about this while your baby is just about 6 months old. You know, that encourages me, because it tells me that you're going to be very strategic and intentional about watching what goes in those little eyes and in those little ears, because you know it's going straight to that little heart. And God bless you for being a mom, and God bless you for being committed to that high calling of motherhood, Carrie, and I appreciate your call. Let's go to Dave, calling from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on WHK Radio. Dave, go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Mueller. I really enjoyed your guest today. I had purchased her book not too long ago. My wife's reading it, and I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I do read her column on World Net Daily, whenever it's weekly, I guess. But I just wanted to let you know that we have cable TV, but we have the channels all blocked, and so it's pretty much on request that our kids watch TV. That way we
How old are your kids, Dave?
Yeah, I have two daughters, 10 and 8, and a son that's 4. And so they're still pretty young. I know when they get older, that'll be a little more difficult to do. But for now, it works pretty well for us. And
yeah, and you're just going to stay on it, Dave. I think you've set a good pattern for your home, and that is that the default is the TV's off. And I think that point you make, I just want to amplify it a bit here. I think if in the household the default position is the TV's off and you have to have permission to turn it on and I'm going to know what you're watching and for how long, I think that that would solve a host of problems right there. Now, some people just decided to take the cable out, the satellite out, to take the TV out and all the rest. I have not done that. My wife and I haven't done that because we think that it is better for us to teach our children how to engage these issues. And I want them to be able to talk about what's in the news and to watch it with me. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to teach my children. But we control the access. There are no TVs in the bedrooms of our children. There's no access to the Internet without them having explicit permission and going right on our computers right where we're working. There's no way that they can just go and download music from the Internet or put into their CD machines what we don't know. And that takes time. It takes work. And frankly, it takes being willing to be considered heavy-handed, not only by your own children, but by, well, the people you may work with, your neighbors, and the parents of your kids' friends. But folks, that's why we're parents. We're here to do the tough stuff and the heavy lifting. Because we're going to give an answer for how we protected our own children. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You join the conversation. I'm Albert Mohler. You know, in a sense, parents are something like a filtration system when it comes to the media. At least we ought to be for our kids. We ought to make sure we catch what is headed for them. Because there are all kinds of messages that are directed right at our children, and don't fool yourself into thinking they're not. There are people out there who are trying to seduce our children with a worldview of moral relativism, of sexuality, and many times it is to sell a product. There are pornographers and all the purveyors of various Hollywood entertainments and all the rest who are targeting our children. Do you know that the demographic that is most influential in Hollywood is 13 to 19-year-old males? That's right. Explains a whole lot about Hollywood when you understand that they are targeting so many of these movies to teenage boys, period. That's it. Do you understand that an awful lot of the fashion industry, in terms of issues of modesty and, or should we say more or less, issues of immodesty, they're directed towards teenage girls and preteen girls and all the rest. It's the early sexualization. It's all this kind of stuff. And it's aimed at our children, and much of it in order to attract them to a marketplace where they would not only receive this but pay for it. And then, of course, there are the worldview confrontations that our kids have to be prepared for every single day, because even if they're not listening to this stuff, some of their schoolmates are. And the people in the larger culture, and we've got to talk to them about it. We need to tell our kids right up front why we are the gatekeepers and why we're willing to be the heavies. Let's go to Chris calling from Lakeland, Florida, listening on WTVN. Chris, welcome to the program.
Dr. Mohler, thank you for taking my call. I had to call in and respond to this issue. As a 40-year-old male with three children of my own and a stepdaughter, it is our right and responsibility as parents to filter everything that enters into our children's lives. What they eat, see, drink, hear, whatever they put in our body, it's our responsibility to the Lord to screen what our children see. And I have to agree that the secular society is infiltrating our family, and parents give in so much to be a friend to their children and accept these things when that is totally being in the wrong. Not only is it infiltrating our children and our home, but we see it so prevalent in the church today. And I think as parents and as responsible leaders in the church, like a teacher as I am, it's our responsibility to not preach this, but teach this to our children.
Yeah, but Chris, you're not really, really radical, are you? I mean, you never say no, do you?
No, I never say no, but
I'm giving you a hard time here, you know, Chris, because I think that, you know, that's something that parents have to be willing to do. You know, it's just to say, no, you can't watch that. No, you can't go there. No, you can't listen to that music. And I agree with you that that's exactly what parents have to be willing to do. Thank you so much for your call. It's good to hear from Lakeland, Florida. Our guest is also, as I am, born there in Lakeland. Let's go to Larry calling from Tampa Bay, Florida, listening on WTBN. Larry, go right ahead.
Yes, same Boy Scout troop and church as you at Lakeland, Alan. I've spoken with you before at Idlewild, so here we are. And I'm going to try to keep this brief, but this is a whole another subject, too. And this has to be caught and not just taught. at an early age, we need to teach our children from the very beginning, just ground them firmly in the Word, because all that you can try to do from social action causes, which needs to be done, cannot be, it's just like the drug interdiction. You cannot stop all the drugs from coming in. You've got to keep your kids from wanting them. And you've got to show them the moral, biblical, grounded truth that Rebecca has so firmly ensconced in her home invasion book. And how you can do that is just simply from the earliest ages, ground them in the Word of God. And on top of that, there should be a social action or director of media attention in every church or even a voluntary level. Donald Wildman addressed this so capably in the 80s in boycotting Menin and Clorox and other places effectively, even those companies wouldn't admit it. I think we're past those stages almost, but not to take up any more of your time, but simply to urge people to take action in their family, in prevention, in the church levels, to try to educate the, I think it needs to be preached and taught and so forth.
Yeah, Larry, I appreciate your call. And you know, you made a point that hasn't been made thus far on the program, and that is that the local church should take some responsibility here. And I agree with you. I think at the very base level, parents need to band together to have some mutual conversations about what's going on in the culture and how we can protect our children. And those mutual conversations need to include, hey, have you heard about this issue? Have you heard about this artist? Have you heard about this movie? Let's make sure that that we're kind of working out of a common front based in common conviction here. Let's go to Vincent. Vincent, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thank you, Dr. Mueller. I'm a parent of three. I've got two children that are in third and fourth grade, and they actually attend Catholic school. And the way we deal with our situation at home is to constantly have a dialogue about the music and TV. And to me, it's a relatively simple analysis for them. You know, I try to teach them to analyze the music themselves. Or the TV. Does it measure up to a Christian message? And simply, you know, does it glorify God? Is it the kind of music you think Jesus would want you listening to? And it becomes a very simple analysis, you know, whether the music is about, you know, unchastity or, you know, sex and violence or drugs or anger even. I just have teaching my children to evaluate the music in those terms. So
that is great, Vincent. I appreciate that word from another parent. Very quickly, let's go to Kathleen calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. Go right ahead, Kathleen.
Yes, I have a dilemma because I have custody of two girls who see their birth mother on a regular basis. And when they go to visit her, they watch all kind of stuff. They listen to all kind of stuff. They're exposed to all kind of stuff. And I can't not let them visit because it's court ordered. You know, so then they come back home. And I'm telling them, no, you cannot watch that. No, you cannot wear that. No, you cannot, you know. And it's this constant battle because they want to, why not? My mother lets me, you know.
Yeah, well, Kathleen, I got to tell you something here. I'm pretty confident that that God's glory in this situation is you providing an alternative word and operating on your authority. And even though you can't control what they may see elsewhere, I think the Lord is going to use you to influence their hearts in terms of what they would want to see and what they would want to hear. And that's just another example of where brokenness in a family situation can lead to great moral complexity. But Kathleen, I love your conviction, I love your spirit, and I love your concern for these stepchildren. God bless you. That just encourages me. And, you know, all of us, as parents, just need to understand this is our responsibility. We can't give it to someone else. We can't transfer it. This is not a baton we can hand off in some relay race. It's up to us. And insofar as we will give an answer to God for how we raise our children, we know that a part of that answer is going to be whether or not we protected them from those who are trying to steal their hearts, rob them of their innocence, and seduce them with the worldviews of a secular and godless world. I don't think there's any other way to put it. I'll be back with some final thoughts in just a moment. This is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. We've been talking about our responsibility as parents to protect our children, to guard their minds, their eyes, their ears, their intake from the media, entertainment, and all the rest. And I think that point's been pretty comprehensively made, as a matter of fact. And did you note that no one was really willing to call and say, hey, I think we ought to just put our kids out there in the great superhighway of information and entertainment and see what happens? You know, this is where there's an amazing common ground that is growing in the midst of our political culture. And this common ground comes down to the fact that most parents, even those who are more or less on the cultural left, they're not just laissez-faire when it comes to their own children. And I think that's an interesting phenomenon. And there's some who are out there saying that there's an entire new voting cohort, a new demographic of the political population, which is made up of moms. Moms and dads who are concerned about the pernicious influence of popular culture. The coarsening of the culture, the criminalizing of the culture, the sexualizing and eroticizing of the culture. And as I pointed out in earlier comments, this isn't just in the form of movies and music. It's even in the form of advertisements. My wife and I, with our kids, were walking in a shopping mall the other day and just walked by the Abercrombie & Fitch and Hollister stores. We talked about them on the air before. And there was a scantily clad mannequin in the front, and it was sexually suggestive. And there's just no doubt that's what's going on. You look at some of the T-shirts that kids are wearing. And where are the parents to say, you can't wear that T-shirt, young lady, because of the message that is on it? You can walk through a department store and you can see entire tables of these T-shirts with suggestive double entendre messages that are clearly erotic and sexualized. How in the world can you expect your kids to take you seriously when you talk about sexual abstinence and sexual purity when you allow them to wear that kind of T-shirt and to expose that kind of flesh? And to live in this kind of eroticized culture just as if, they're like everybody else. You know, that's the bottom line, isn't it? When it comes to what they watch, what they wear, what they listen to, what they sing, what they read, where they go, it just doesn't fulfill our Christian responsibility as parents to let them go along. It's our responsibility, first of all, to protect them, and that includes saying no where we have to say no, and where no is the only possible answer we can give, and no's got to stick. And it means also teaching them to be discerning, because there will come one day when we're not going to be there to turn off the TV. We're not going to be there to take him away from the Internet. And we're going to have to hope that we have put within them principles and convictions that will lead them to make the right decisions. We'll be back next week to talk about a host of issues that matter. We'll put truth on the line, and I'll meet you then.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows, Dr. Mohler's daily crosswalk commentary, and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.